It's all beautifully easy to get perfect coffee every time with the new Chase and Sanborn instant coffee product. An absent-minded professor can make coffee that tastes as if a chef had made it, and he can do it with one eye on the clock. Just put a little instant Chase and Sanborn in the cup, add hot water, and stir. There's your instant Chase and Sanborn success. Rich, full-bodied, heartwarming. And then with instant Chase and Sanborn, there's no cleanup bother, no pot to wash, no grounds to get rid of. It's only about a penny a cup. Get a jar or two tomorrow. And here are Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy.
Hello, Bergie.
Yes, well, Charlie, Christmas will soon be here, and already there's a feeling of good fellowship in the air.
Yes, yes, there is. Uh-huh.
All right. Yes, the spirit of giving and receiving.
Bergen, are you giving?
Oh, yes, indeed, I am.
Well, I'm receiving.
You are.
How about a raise?
Oh, no, a raise?
Yeah, I would like a green Christmas.
A green, yeah.
Sort of a currency green.
I see. But, Charlie, you know, Charlie, so often having more money means misery.
It does, huh?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, just put me down for a slice of more misery, will you? I tell you, Bergen, it's come to a point where it's either more dough or else.
Or else?
Yes, or else.
Or else what?
Or else you can hang a vacant sign on your knee.
Oh, no, no. Do you mean that you're quitting?
Yes, I'm on strike.
On strike?
Yeah.
Well, going on strike so close to Christmas, huh? That seems very foolish.
Well, I don't know.
You remind me of the time that Santa Claus's reindeer went on strike. Have you ever heard of it?
No, I haven't. I've been spared so far.
Well.
Up till now.
Yeah, yeah. It's the story of a disgruntled reindeer. Now, there's a long version and there's a short version. Which one would you like?
The silent version. I won't get that one.
No, no. I'll tell you the short one. It was the night before Christmas, and Santa Claus loaded his sled with toys and was ready to hitch up the reindeer. But the reindeer refused to go. So they called a strike meeting, and the reindeer presented their demands to Santa Claus. Oh, it was an awful time.
Oh, I know, I
know.
Come. Silence now. Now, Santa Claus can't hear a thing you say if you reindeer talk all the time and all at once. Ho, 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 ho.
He's Santa Claus.
Oh, yeah.
Now, tell me now, what are your complaints, reindeer? Yes, Blitzen, you have your hoof up. What is it?
Well, I think we reindeer should have one night off a year.
That's right.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. What night?
Christmas Eve.
Now, wait a minute.
And another thing, when we're going downhill, why can't we reindeer ride in a sled with you?
Yeah, and speaking of sleds, we demand fog lights on the sleigh. Mm-hmm. And for Los Angeles, smog lights.
And another thing, Santa.
What is it, Dasher?
We demand fighter escort while going over to Russian Cuspidor.
Now, my little reindeer, you become mighty unreasonable with your old Santa. Remember, you can all be replaced by an airplane. Ho, ho, ho.
Yes, and you can be replaced by an actor, ho, ho, ho. Remember, Santa, we're 8 reindeer strong and highly disorganized.
I say, old boy, I'd like to make a motion.
Well, what kind of a motion, Blitzen?
Oh, any kind. I'm just tired of sitting here motionless.
Order.
Santa, I demand that you get rid of those infernal sleigh bells. Mm-hmm. They keep ringing in my ears all the time, and it's horrible. Bells are driving me mad, you hear? Mad!
What on earth is the matter with you, Prancer?
I've been taking dramatic lessons.
Oh. Well, I don't see why you reindeer take this attitude. Haven't I always been fair? I try to be big.
Well, that's the trouble. You're too big. You're too heavy to lug around in the sleigh.
Yeah, you weren't that fat when we started working for you.
Well, maybe I have gained a little in the interim.
You gained a lot in the outer rim, too.
But really, reindeer, I'm trying to watch my stomach.
Well, that shouldn't be hard. Wherever you look, there it is.
Order!
I move that we take a strike vote. All those not in favor of working like horses say nay.
Nay!
Well, reindeer, if your minds are made up, I guess old Santa Claus will have to try and get along without you. I know. I can pick up a used hot rod.
Well,
I can do that.
Wait a minute, Santa. Maybe we want to talk this over a little more. What do you say, fellas?
Simmer yourself down and keep it quiet. Friends, I'm Russell Twing, and I'm looking for Mr. S. Claus.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's a well-known philanthropist.
Yes, yes, yes. I'm Santa Claus, and what brings you here?
Well, do you mind if I step inside?
Oh, surely, come here.
Yes, it's so cold, and I'm just so aggravated, I'm fit to be tied.
Mm.
And I don't mean Yuletide either.
Mm. Did you have a cold trip coming up here?
Cold? Yes. Oh, heavens to Elizabeth. Oh, I was up to my gizzard in Blizzard.
Mm.
And I came 50 miles by dog sled, too. And the last 10 by just plain dogs. And, oh, they're just killing me something awful. I tell you, friend, I walked and I walked until I'm just one big pain.
Well, that's the impression you give me.
Very smart. One more little remark out of you, young reindeer, and I'll twist your little antlers.
Well, what brings you here, Mr. Twing?
Well, I'm here...
You are?
Yes. I'm here, and I want to take pictures of all you reindeer for our ladies' magazine called Good Housebroken.
Oh. You've got to... goody. At last, we're getting publicity.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. We're going to have our pictures taken, aren't we?
Yeah.
Be sure and photograph my best side, won't you?
Here. Oh, don't you want your face in the picture?
Now, let's see. People around here, I can't. What kind of a film should I use on you? Let's see. I think you have a panchromatic pan.
Nah, that's good.
Well, is your film very sensitive?
No, but I am. And just be careful what you say to me, too.
Well, tell me, what kind of shutter do you use?
Well, I don't use a shutter at all. You see, I use a Venetian blind.
Oh, that's
because in the morning the sun comes right. Oh, you mean my camera?
Oh, come on. Come on. Now take our pictures.
You see, Santa, somebody thinks we're important. Look at all the publicity they're going to give us.
Yeah, and without any help from you, Santa.
Now, just a moment, Dasher. It was Santa Claus who asked me to come up here and take your pictures.
Did you, Santa, really?
Well, why not? I gotta think of my partners, don't I?
Good old Santa.
Well, fellas, it looks like Santa rides again.
Now, just a moment, Santa Claus. Would you mind dropping off a gift to Jane Russell?
Jane Russell? Why, gladly. What do you want me to bring her?
Me. Goodbye, aye.
Goodbye, aye.
Well, I guess we're off. All right, Dunder, Blitz, and Prancer, let's go.
Watch out, better not cry, better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town.
He's making a list and checking it twice. Gonna find out who's naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town.
Tonight, walking in a winter wonderland. Gone away is the bluebird, here to stay is the new bird.
He sings a love song as we go along, walking in a winter wonderland.
In the meadow we can build a snowman.
In the meadow,
then pretend that he is hot and proud.
In the meadow, he'll be on the merry
first they know, man. But you can do the job when you're in town. Later on, we'll conspire as we dream by the fire. We'll face unafraid the plans that we made. Walking in a winter wonderland.
Santa Claus coming.
Santa Claus coming to town.
He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake.
Oh, you better watch out. You better not cry.
I'm telling you why.
Santa
Mortimer.
Oh, do?
Season's greetings.
Well, thanks. A lot of seasoning to you, too. Yeah.
You seem to be in good spirit.
Yeah, well, I guess you heard about me, haven't you?
No. Why, no. What happened?
I'm getting married. Oh, yeah.
Mortimer getting married?
Yeah.
My. Well, this is interesting.
Yeah.
Who are you marrying?
Oh, you know, one of them female girls. of the opposite sex.
Of the opposite sex. I just can't believe it, Mortimer.
Yeah, it's true.
Mortimer getting married.
I reckon we all gotta go sometime.
What does this girlfriend of yours, what does she look like?
Oh, she's kind of rounded. Sort of bulgy. sort of girl-shaped.
Girl-shaped, yeah. Well, how did you meet her, Mortimer?
Well, it was at a party, and I was just standing there under a chandelier when all of a sudden a girl came over and flung her arms around me.
She threw her arms around you?
Yeah.
I see.
I guess she had a crunch on me.
Yeah, I mean... Well, now, you know that's not so impossible. I think you have a certain rustic charm.
I must have something. Yeah.
Maybe she likes the way you wear your clothes.
Yeah, might be. I was wearing my new pushover sweater.
You sort of liked her arms around you?
No, boy. When I left a whiff of that bay rum she was wearing, I was a goner.
Yeah, I see. You waft a whiff. Yeah, I see. You mean she had perfume.
And you know what she did?
What did she do?
She kissed me. No.
Well, and what did you do after she kissed you?
I got down off the chandelier. I ain't been so excited since the time I got my tongue froze to the pump handle.
So that's how the romance started.
Yeah.
When did you propose to her? I say, when did you propose to her?
Well, I proposed to her.
You haven't?
No.
Well, aren't you engaged?
Well, no.
You're not?
No.
Well, then why are you considering marrying her?
Well, she kissed me, didn't she?
Yes, I know.
Well?
Well, what?
Mr. Bergen, us nerds ain't cads.
Oh. Why, that doesn't mean anything. Let me explain what happened. You were standing under the chandelier, and there was mistletoe tied to it. The girl had a perfect right to come up and kiss you.
She did?
Well, of course. You probably weren't the first boy she kissed, and you most likely won't be the last.
I guess you're right. If she'll kiss me, she'll kiss anybody.
And as the Chase and Sanborn instant coffee grew in popularity, so did Charlie and Edgar. They continued on their merry way, spreading laughter and happiness, until one day there came an intruder. An intruder with a disagreeable personality. I can still hear that irritating voice when he first entered and said...
Simmer down. Give me one last chance to talk. Ben, I am Ursula Twain.
How do you do?
I do as I please. Yeah. How do you do? And I've been waiting for this opportunity to speak to you.
Yes, well, I'm busy.
So am I. I've been studying to be a radio writer.
Oh,
yeah. And I specialize in witticism, quiddity,
yeah,
and comicality.
Yeah.
And,
it's very interesting.
Thank
yes.
you.
Is your humor... Is your humor original?
Original?
Yes.
Oh, heavens to Elizabeth. Yes, I'll say it is. And I'll swear to it on a stack of joke books, too, there.
I was afraid of that, yeah. Well, how much do you charge for your jokes?
Well, now, let's see. It depends on how funny it is.
All right.
For a quarter, I can give you a titter.
A titter?
And I also have snickers and giggles and side splitters and, if you'll pardon the expression, belly laughs.
Well, I'd like to hear one of your pardon the expression jokes.
How would you like to hear one of my pardon the expression jokes?
Yes, yes.
Here it goes. I'm a corset fitter, and I take measurements for ladies' girdles.
Uh-huh, you take measurements for lady girdles.
That's right.
Do you ever make a mistake?
Well, once in a while, I pull a bloomer.
No. Sorry, but my sides didn't split on that joke.
Well, that's because you're just an old pickle puss.
Is that so? Yeah. Why don't you try and sell that joke to Jack Benny or Fred Allen?
I can't do that.
Why?
Well, that's where I got it.
Oh, I
see. Hi. Joke season chuckles. Ha-ha, tee-ho-ha.
In October of this year, Edgar Bergen departed from the usual guest star policy by presenting an unusual domestic sketch starring Don Ameche and Marcia Hunt as John and Blanche Bickerson in The Honeymoon is Over. Two o'clock in the morning finds the Bickerson automobile straining under the additional weight of a house trailer moving in the general direction of Yellowstone National Park. This is John Bickerson's first vacation in 7 years, and his wife Blanche is determined to see that he gets a good rest. They've been driving steadily for 9 hours. Listen.
John. Don't slump like that.
I'm not slumping.
You are, too. Your eyes are almost closed, and your head keeps lolling on my shoulder.
Well, I'm sleepy, Blanche. I can't drive anymore.
You're not driving. I am.
Oh.
I knew you'd make me do the driving. I'll bet you'll sleep all the way while I just sit here and gnash my teeth. That's one bet I can win. You're not listening.
I'm listening.
What did I say?
You want a new gnash with twin beds. Good night.
Wish we'd never started on this trip.
Shh.
I won't shush. You've got no right to treat me like a truck driver. You haven't been 1 minute's help to me. I don't know where I'm going. I can't understand these dials on the dashboard. I'm telling you now, John, if you fall asleep once more, I'll run out of gas.
You say it, but you won't do it.
That settles it. I'm not going to drive another step.
Well, pull over to the side. You can't stop in the middle of the highway. You're blocking traffic.
Oh, all right. Won't start.
Let me see that gas gauge. Empty. Why didn't you tell me we were running low?
I told you I didn't know anything about it.
Well, there's no use sitting here. There's only one way to get this outfit over to the side of the road, and that's by pushing it. Now, don't touch a thing until I tell you. Okay, Blanche.
I can't even budge it, John. You come out and push.
Wait a minute. Let me try this stuff. Why, you didn't even have the ignition key on.
There, that's it.
Turn off the headlights, John, and come back here in the trailer. Watch your step.
I'm sleepy. I don't want to open my eyes.
Go on. Get in. Now take your clothes off.
Where's the bed?
Just pull down the ironing board and hook it to the bread box.
I can't sleep on an ironing board. What kind of a trailer is this?
You don't have to sleep on the ironing board. That just makes the slats. Now, you just fold the stove underneath and slide the seat pads on top. Now, there. Isn't that clever?
Wonderful. Good night.
The other bed hooks on the other side. You see how simple it is?
I hate it.
Oh, you're never satisfied with anything. This trailer's a darn sight better than our apartment, if you ask me. It's got every modern convenience. Well, there's more closet space than we have. There's a lovely metal sink, and the bathroom is out of this world.
That's what I was afraid of.
Blow out the candle, Blanche.
It's not a candle. It's an electric bulb shaped like a candle.
You will turn it off and go to sleep. Never been so tired in all my life.
Well, if it won't trouble you too much, I'd like to get my clothes off. Would you mind unzipping my back?
Back up.
Thanks.
Here's the zipper.
John Bickerson.
Oh, I couldn't help it. The darn thing came off in my hand. Why don't they sew it on tight?
I'm going to take it back to Madame Selma's and get a refund. Then I'm going out to buy some real clothes.
Oh, you got plenty of clothes.
I have not.
You have, too. You spend a fortune on clothes.
How can you say that? All I own is this dress and that red dinner gown, and I got that gown for a ridiculous figure.
Well, you were fatter then.
All I've got is rags. And you scream your head off if I buy one dress a year. In another 2 months, I'll have absolutely nothing to wear around the house. Then what'll I do?
Pull down the shades.
I wish I was home.
So do I. Good night.
You bet there isn't another woman alive who has to humiliate herself the way I do to get a kind word from her husband. Why did you marry me if you can't stand the sight of me?
I can stand the sight of you.
But you don't love me.
Yes, I do.
You don't, you don't, you don't.
I tell you I do.
Then why don't you say it?
I'm going to tell you for the last time, Blanche. No man ever felt about a woman the way I feel about you.
Honest?
Honest.
Do you really despise me?
You know I do.
What?
I mean, no.
Then why don't you let me talk to you?
I told you, Blanche, I don't feel like talking. Now, please don't start that all over again, Blanche.
Well, I can't help feeling... What was that?
What was what?
Outside the trailer. I thought I heard somebody prowling around. Get up and look, John.
Oh, there's nobody there.
You left the keys in the car. Why don't you get up and look?
There's nothing to look for.
That proves you don't love me. You once told me you'd face death for me, didn't you?
Yes.
Then why don't you go and see who it is?
How do I know he's dead?
John, if anybody breaks in here, will you save me?
Yes, I'll save you.
Why?
Oh. What's the matter with you, Blanche? Why don't you just calm down and go to sleep?
I can't sleep. I'm worried.
I tell you, there's nobody outside.
It's not that. I've got something to tell you.
Well, tell me.
If you give me a kiss, I'll tell you.
Well, tell me now and I'll kiss you later.
You might not feel like kissing me later.
I don't feel like kissing you now. Not after the way you upset me. What have you done?
You remember when we stopped for gas in Las Vegas?
I remember.
Well, I went into the washroom to powder my nose, and they had a slot machine built into the mirror.
You went for it, huh? How many nickels did you lose?
It was a dollar machine.
Blanche, you didn't lose a dollar.
I lost $47.
$47? You squandered my life savings on a one-armed bandit.
I was only trying to make enough money.
How can you throw away my money like that? I work like a slave to hold on to a few pennies. I deny myself everything. I've been sewing collars on your old bloomers and wearing them for turtlenecks. Yesterday, I took a bite out of my leg to save on lunch. And she gambles away $47, Blanche. I take an oath.
John, quick. There's somebody unhitching the car.
Don't try to change the subject. We're going to have a showdown if...
John! Look out the window.
What are you talking about? What happened to our car, Blanche? It's gone.
I told you there was a prowler. You wouldn't listen.
Oh, how do we get the police? That crook made off with my car.
Well, you don't have to get hysterical, John. He can't get away with it.
Why not?
Because I copied down his license number.
Good night, Blanche.
Good night, John.
...1948 was a thrilling year for coffee lovers. So many of you discovered the joys of the new Chase and Sanborn instant coffee product. With instant Chase and Sanborn, so many of you finally found the flavor you'd been waiting for in coffee made instantly right in the cup. With instant Chase and Sanborn, thousands have found they can sleep later mornings and not have to waste time waiting for coffee to cook. Just add hot water, stir, and there's your rich, fragrant, full-bodied coffee. The cost is only about a cent a cup. Start tomorrow to enjoy this neat treat at your house, instant Chase and Sanborn. You'll love it. And so, we arrive at the present. 3 weeks ago, while Mr. Bergen was vacationing at Palm Springs, a reporter called for an interview.
Mr. Bergen, is it true that you're going to retire from radio?
No, no, it's only a short leave of absence. This is the first time in 11 years that I'm free to take time out to experiment and perhaps bring something new to my radio program in the fall.
So you've decided it's wiser to take time out while your program is one of the leading shows.
Yes, that's right. My ambition and my joy is to continue to do the best shows that I can, for which I've always been generously rewarded.
And I'm happy to say that in my 11 years with Chase and Sanborn, there has never been a word of disagreement or criticism, even when criticism was in order.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to read a telegram which just arrived. It's addressed to Mr. Edgar Bergen from Standard Brands, Incorporated, makers of Chase and Sanborn coffee. For nearly 12 years, for almost the lifetime of Coast to Coast Radio, we've been on the air together. Ever since May 1937, when you began your journeys into millions upon millions of American homes, wherever you came into the living room, our Chase and Sanborn coffees came into the kitchen. For that, we owe you and give you our special gratitude. But along with the rest of America, we owe you a far deeper gratitude that is almost inexpressible for making us remember week in and week out that life is for living and living is fun. For creating in Charlie McCarthy a legendary figure second only to Santa Claus in the hearts of children of all ages all over the world. In your mission of legend and laughter, it's been our great good fortune to play what might be called a supporting part. At this moment when we ask ourselves, how can we say goodbye for now? Only Mortimer has the words for it. Bergen, it ain't easy.
Thank you, thank you. That makes me very happy, and I'd like to take this opportunity to say to my listeners everywhere, a very happy and prosperous New Year, and we'll all be back together in the fall.
That goes for me, too. Goodbye, everyone.
Gee, it's been fine and dandy, Mr. Bergen, to be with you. Just as long as we are by your side, troubles seem to have a funny side. When you're gone, Mr. Bergen, we'll be lonesome and very blue. When you're handy, we're fine and dandy, but when you leave, what will we do? So long, Bergen, we must leave you, though we do not want to go. So long, Charlie, we shall miss you on the Sunday radio. Hark, the landlord is calling. He wants the rent, you see. So till you find another sponsor, goodbye, Mr. B, and we ain't kidding. So long, Mr. B, we really love you. So long, till next time, Mr. B.